Before Carol comes and introduces Joyce, did anybody read her bio when it came through on the email? So I just kind of stopped short at the first two sentences. Joyce is currently on staff at Greater Portland Bible Church, and I will add, as Associate Pastor of Adult Education and Hospitality. Does that sound like a job tailor-made for you? The hospitality part, I was like, oh, I want to know more about that. But then the second sentence, she retired from women's ministry after 32 years. I was like, huh? You just can't leave, can you? I love it. And I know these are intertwined. Yes. So she was just women's ministry and then retired from that and then went to do something else. But those two sentences put together just stopped me short. And I look forward to hearing from you. Joyce is one of those true extroverts that is energized by people and is always a kick in the pants to have in the room. So, Carol, can you come and tell us more about her, please?
You know, Deb, there's really a good reason why God doesn't start giving us kids in our 50s. You've got to be your age to have the energy to keep up with them. When I have my grandkids, it's like, I can be there, and when they leave, it's like, I have to go take a nap. It is my privilege to introduce Joyce. We are, I don't even know if this is a term, but I guess this is what we are, as cousin-in-laws. Our husbands are first cousins. But we've had a lot of fun in that in groups. People will say, how are you related? And we've said, sisters. And they kind of look at us like, really? But actually that is how we're related. And I've known Joyce, I was thinking about this the other day, 50 years. Because I first met Joyce when my husband and I were dating, and we went over to actually her in-laws' house, and they were getting ready for their wedding. So I remember she was making decorations and all that, and that's when I first met her. And then December they just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. So I've known her a little more than 50 years. And she has been in women's ministry, I think 32 years. She was the first paid ministry, women's ministry leader in the entire city of Portland. And she had no idea what she was doing when she was hired. No idea, because there weren't any. And so she did what is very typical of Joyce, and I've seen her do it in all the 50 years I've known her. She called people and got them together and said, okay, how do we do this? What does this look like? What do we do? So she has designed women's ministry in our city. She got together. It was called Wellspring. Wasn't that the first name? Wellspring at the beginning. And it was just a bunch of women that had no idea who they were, what they were doing. But they kind of got together. Where do we want to go? And what does that look like? So she's really been really important. That all the networking I've done in the city over the past 12 years since I've been here, everybody knows Joyce. I mean, I have totally been, oh, you're Joyce's cousin for all these years. So she's done a great work there. And she has 3 grown children and 8 grandchildren. So she beats me on that by 1. And all her daughter lives in California and her other 2 live here. The subject she's talking about today is going to be boundaries and in-laws, and she comes well experienced in that because she had her own struggles in that area when they got married. So I'm really happy to have her come and share with us. So come ahead, Joyce.
You know, she's the one that prayed for me into the kingdom. She's very humble in this. But when she met me, she had a lot of questions, I'm sure, because I was just kind of like, when Lou became a Christian, her husband, I thought, what is that all about, you know? He's a Jesus freak now. This is the 60s. And lo and behold, she prayed me into the kingdom, and my husband and I were working on the oyster farm down in Newport, Oregon, and we went to a Billy Graham movie. So I love mass evangelism. Get the gospel out there, and there's somebody like me who would come to a movie theater. Every time you go to Newport, Newport, Oregon, there was a theater there. And my husband and I went shopping,
And I was arguing with him because we always argue about finances. I love to spend and he's a bean counter. So, you know, how many of you have bean counters or you're the bean counter? Okay. So anyway, we were arguing about finances. I was teaching school at that time. And so I said, well, I don't want to go home with you. He goes, well, what do you want to do? I said, I really don't know. I really would like to go home to Hawaii at this time, but it's too far away. Right? So I said, okay, let's go to a movie. So we grabbed some popcorn, bagged popcorn, and no, we didn't get the popcorn, we got it from the movie theater, and an apple. I was on a diet at that time. Got an apple. And so we go into the movie theater. We didn't know it was a Billy Graham movie. And the curtain closes, and this man comes out, and I'm bawling my head off because when God touches your heart, your heart, it's got to move. And so I said to Doug, I've got to go. And he goes, where? I said, that man says to go over there. So he said, well, I don't want to sit by myself. I said, well, you better come then. And so I was crying, just crying. And I sat on this little, right by the bank, had a little chair. I sat there and still crying. And since the pastor couldn't talk to me, he talked to Doug. Doug was not a Christian either. He thought, oh, great. So the guy says to him, if you knew there was a God, would you want to do what that God told you to do? And Doug said, I'd be a fool if I knew there was a God. So they studied, long story short, they studied with us for a year and a half. It took that long. I questioned everything. That's why I love groups where there's a lot of questions about, what about this and what about this in life? Because I was there. I was the skeptic. I was the one that didn't want to believe. And so the sweet story, I'll end with that before I get into the topic, is that this couple continued to serve the Lord till they were in their 90s. They lived in a retirement home in Turner, Oregon, and I'll never forget because Bernita was my idol, or you know, somebody that mentored me, and she was 92 leading women Bible study in this retirement home, and all the people were sleeping. I mean, they were all sleeping, you know. And I'll never forget afterwards. I said, Bernita, how do you do that? She goes, they're listening. God's helping them listen. I'll just keep talking till I die. The sweet part of that is her husband became with Alzheimer's, and last October, they died 8 hours apart. He died first, 8 hours. So we had a memorial service. Their children, all walking with the Lord, came from here. They're from all over the country, and we had a celebration for their life. I know each of you sit here and you have family and loved ones who don't know them. Do what Carol did. She prayed. I think it took about 2 years, right, Carol? Yeah, poor thing. She had to put up with me. So anyway, I just love talking about this topic, not because I've arrived in it, because I'm still in it. You know, you're still in it. And boundaries, I'm going to cover boundaries more in overall relationships, although I do boundaries in marriage and boundaries in kids and boundaries in just everyday life. So I'll be weaving all of that in because I think that it'll be helpful for all of us. So let's pray. Father, just telling my story again, I know that each one of us here have a story of how you pursued us into a loving relationship with you and you alone. So thank you for the privilege to be here and to speak to these women, to give them a fresh vision into their lives as they share the gospel with others who don't know you. And also to learn more about how and what is boundaries all about in our lives. We give you thanks, and all to the glory. Amen. So there's much to cover in this period, and I do want to have it so that you can ask some questions. And then also, I didn't do questions for you at the table. But be sure to do that as you're listening to me, because you're going to see, you're going to have a lot of things like, okay, what is that? Because I'll be covering the 10 laws of boundaries from this book. So how many have read this book? Okay. If you haven't, get it online. It's written by Dr. Townsend and Dr. Cloud. We got to hear him in Nashville, Tennessee a couple of times, and they've written a lot of books, but it's a good tool. I think many times when you pick up a book, it's so hard to digest. This one here, you digest it right away. They're two Christian counselors, so they give a lot of stories. But in order to understand what boundaries are, I have to share with you kind of more of a foundational. There are three foundational kinds of relationships. So you have that on your notes there. You and I are made for three kinds of relationships. Without that understanding, we'll be talking about boundaries, but it's out of the context of the foundation. Okay? So you and I, were created with a relationship with God. That's foremost. Now, it's easy to say, yeah, I know that. But when you talk about boundaries, it's about your relationship as God pursued you individually. In that relationship, John 15:16 says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. You know, sometimes they say, well, I chose Jesus Christ for my life. No, he chose you first. Before the foundation of the world, he knew. He knew that in August 1970, I would accept Christ. He knew that. Because he knew my life growing up. He knew my life in high school and college, and he knew, he made us in his image. It's not only after you become a Christian, it's from the time you were born. Psalms 139 says he created us with our innermost parts. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're a child that was adopted. He knew you. He pursued you. And he loves you. So it's with God. The second one is we were made with a relationship with others. That's so good to know that. I'd like to be sometimes an island unto myself and not have any, you know, responsibility. But God says what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That means you have to go out and take the step and love by your will many times, not by your emotions. We also have a relationship with ourselves. And it took me a while to understand that one. It's easy for me to understand with God, with others, but what is this about ourself? Because it takes a lifetime to know sometimes who you really are, right? We know our identity is in Christ, that we are secure in his salvation, that we have been bought with a price. He died on the cross for me. But sometimes I forget, he also wants me to be obedient. So when you know yourself, you're able to be more obedient because you know what your personality is, you know your shortcomings, you know your strengths. And I'm reading a book now. I'd love to talk about this, but I haven't gotten it down yet, Carol. It's called Thanks for the Feedback. Thanks for the Feedback. And it's a book that was recommended for a mission organization. All the missionaries are reading it. And this gal said, I think you would like this. And I'm reading it, and I'm just being humbled. I don't receive feedback well. I don't know. Sometimes that's what happens in boundaries. Somebody tells you something, and you're the receiver of that feedback. I am so reactionary. I think it's part of my personality. I react. I can get angry. Whereas my husband is a very low-key. He doesn't... One time I remember when we were first married, I thought, does he have any emotions? So I got a newspaper and flung it across the room, and he goes, what is that all about? I said, I've never seen you angry. And he said, well, that wasn't very nice. I said, well, get angry then. You know. So here we go. We're dealing with ourselves. We were also made to belong. That means I want to connect with you. That's why we have the church. because people need to feel belong. We want to belong. But you have to know you belong to God first. That's what I had to learn. Because it's easy to be people pleaser. I want to please you. I want to please you. I want to please my mother-in-law, whatever, whatever. But I belong to God first. My worth, the next one, my worth is in Jesus Christ. Who, people can talk about the value of what they value in life, but Jesus values you above everything because you're worth. If he had to die for just you, he would have died. If he had to die just for me, he would have died. But he died for the whole world because we were worth it, even if we don't feel that we were worth it. The third is we're competent. I'm competent in the Holy Spirit. That's how the Trinity works in our life. I belong to God the Father, and then Jesus Christ gives me worth when I don't feel worth at all. If you're in a hard marriage, or if you get your worth not in what people say about you or what your kids say. Some of you have some teenagers. That's when they, you know, kind of like get an attitude, right? Right. I see it in my teenage grandchildren now. And so we belong, we have worth, and we are competent. The third piece of principles that I'd like to have you understand before we go into boundaries is that we are made with the capacity to choose. That's our DNA. We are made with the capacity to choose. Sometimes life gets really hard and you don't think, I have a choice. But you do. God gave us that. It's a free will. What happened to the garden? In the garden, right? They had to choose and they chose the wrong, right? And then sin marred our lives. So Jesus came and died for that so that all of that would be erased. But he gives us that capacity to choose. The second one there under foundational principles is we are made to take responsibility for ourselves. So there's choice. He gives us choice. Just like as you're raising your children, many times it's good to give them choices, right? But you know what is wrong choice. I love your story. Thank you so much, Debbie. Just was able to relate to you right away having children. But you know, standing at that curb, right? That, I don't want to obey right now, you know. But he gives us that responsibility through the Holy Spirit. Not through you, many times, not because you want to, right? You choose to love your husband. It's a choice. I have a thing that I do on love that I just love because I had to go through the definition of love to understand that in a marriage, especially, it's a choice to love. And many times it's without any emotion. You chose him at the altar and you said, I do. So it's a choice to say, I'm going to love him. Whatever it takes. But there's also responsibility in that choice of love, in that responsibility of love. You know, the only place in the Bible where it says for wives to love their husbands is in Titus 2, 3 through 5. It says, older women, love your husband. And that love is not agape love. It's friendship love, phileo love. That's different. Many times I tell women, because we've been married 50 years, I had to teach my husband how to be a friend. We know what a friendship is. Women, we can just connect, right? Go to coffee and pretty soon I know your life, you know my life. That isn't the case many times for husbands or men. If they're extrovert, they'll probably be there. But most husbands, like my husband, it took a while. And it was through a speaker that she encouraged me. She said, well, she shared that verse, and I'd never heard that. I've never heard that love verse is about friendship. It's phileo love. So you know what I say to my husband? If you ask me out on a date, I'll say yes. That's better than, we never have a time with each other, you know. I think, you know, bam, 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 bam. It's kind of like a whining to them, and it's a droppy faucet. Remember in the Bible it says that. So anyway, to create that, we have the responsibility for ourselves and to know that. So when I was going to share boundaries for the first time, which was about 20 years ago, I thought I knew it. You know, somebody said, can you do boundaries? Oh, sure. You know me. So I went in and I looked at it. I said, well, it's biblical. We are to have boundaries. God gave us the capacity to choose and to have responsibility. But there's also limits, you know, so that's good. So anyway, I was getting ready to prepare this message for another church, not my church. And God had to give me an illustration what boundaries really is. So I came home, and our next door neighbor had sold the house, but they were now renting. And the lawn, I would come home and it'd get longer and taller. So I'd say to my husband, oh, those renters over there, they should mow their lawn. He said, I know, you know, my husband's kind of like that. Oh, yeah, what do you want to do? I said, well, they should mow it, right? Okay. Next day, taller, 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 till you could put a goat in there. And I grew up in Hawaii, and I love goat. I love to eat a goat, so hey, there you go. I love goat. And so, get bigger, taller. So it's like this already. And I said to him, I can't believe it. Should we call the property manager and maybe complain? And Doug goes, Joyce, it's not our lawn. We could go over there and say, be a servant, you know, and maybe mow the lawn. But see, in boundaries, each of us have a property line, right? It's invisible, but it's like that. A person many times crosses that boundary line and wants to mow my lawn, right? Or you want to go mow their lawn. It's an invisible line, but it's still the same. We need to respect the persons. Well, it finally, after 2 weeks, one of these big lawnmowers, you know, the kind you need bigger because the thing was so big and they had to hack it down. I had fun watching it because I thought, good. So boundaries is about property lines in your life. It's invisible, but it's real. Because it's your property, right? Until they mowed the lawn, it wasn't my responsibility. Do you get that picture? Many times we cross it, and we don't realize we're crossing it until it's too late, and then there's a broken relationship, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's important for you and I, especially, because we teach that to our children, right? You give them time out, right? What other ways do you, besides time out, what do you do to teach your children how to behave and what's the limit and all of that? Any other? Besides time out, what else do you use?
Knocking before you enter someone's bedroom.
Oh, good. Knock before you enter into someone's bedroom. That's a very practical one. And so, taking some of those things that you're teaching your children or what you have experienced in your life, sometimes your family of origin, I call it, the way you were raised, you bring that into your home. And when you have, like Doug had his perspective and I had my perspective, they clash sometimes in understanding what are our boundaries together. So, I'm going to cover, if you would take out the sheet, it's a small one, it's a half sheet, and the reason why I have it on the half sheet is that you can stick it someplace so you can bring it out again. You know, sometimes you take a note and it's a big piece, you think, what do I do with this thing? And today it's all digital anyway, right? So, here we go. According to Dr. Townsend and Dr. Cloud, I'm going to weave in boundaries in in-laws and in family situation through the 10 laws. Okay? For this first one is the law of sowing and reaping. Our actions have consequences. I remember teaching school, and I remember doing teacher conference. I did speech therapy, so I'd meet with the parents, and their kids would be there and kind of unruly, and I thought to myself, they don't know how to be a parent. When I have children, I'm going to know it. Now, you didn't say it out loud, you know, but in your mind, I'm thinking, I'm not going to have kids like that, and I'm not going to be the one yelling. Well, after the first one, I found myself yelling, and a lot of anger issues in me came out. So I decided, I said, Doug, I've got to get this under control. I'm going to go to an anger management class. He said, good, that'd be great. Good for him, good for the kids. I mean, I wasn't hitting the kids or anything like that, but, you know, I could tell. I just was sometimes out of control because I wanted them to behave. And so I went to the class, but this was in the newspaper. You know, we didn't have where you could go to Google, find me a, you know, support group for anger management. No, so I read the thing in the newspaper, and they were for all the fathers and mothers that their children got taken away from them. So they were teaching a class that I was like, oh, woo. But I learned a lot, because anger is a choice. When, you know, anger as an emotion is a natural emotion, and it's good. You have to have some of that. Jesus showed us when he had to overturn the tables, but he didn't get carried away. It was righteous anger because he's God, but I'm just saying for us, if you get carried away beyond and are constantly upset, that's where I was at. And anger is a choice. And the instructor said, I want you to put D before A. So danger. So when that emotion, you may have to take a time out yourself, calm yourself down, and use some wise management. But whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And we understand that. We understand that because we say to the child, this is the consequence. We did that with our children. This is the consequence. We took them away and we explained why they were being disciplined. And then we were able to connect with them in a spiritual way, in a way. It wasn't like spank and done, you know, that kind of behavior. So, the second one is the law of responsibility, and I kind of covered that, but this is what I want you to remember. We are responsible to each other, but not for each other. Let me say that again, because it took me a while. It's not easy to follow through. I am responsible to you, to love you, to accept you, but I am not responsible for what you do. In the start of the book, he talks about a husband that would come home and was angry, and the wife would didn't want him to be upset. So she'd say to the kids, you know, Daddy worked really hard. And I thought to myself as I was reading, as if you didn't work really hard at home. But it was that way. And so she would, you know, kids, we need to just listen. Let Daddy eat and do all of that kind of stuff. That's what taking responsibility for his behavior. The kids were afraid when he would come home. That's the consequence. But there's a responsibility that needed to be taken care of by him. That's no way to behave with the children day in, day out, where the kids are afraid to talk at the table because Dad wants to eat, he's upset, and all of that. Those are the things that we can create what I call codependency. And some of us, it's easier for us. You know, we are rescuers. We protect. And so instead of letting that person take responsibility for the life that they're choosing, such as addictions and all of that, we take the responsibility. We're going to find a place for you to get that help. I had to take responsibility for my anger issues. So I went to an anger management class and learned a lot. I mean, at least it started me thinking. And what's been great was, it's been great to know that God is still working in my life through the Holy Spirit. So the third one is the law of power. we have the power over something. You and I have the power over a circumstance or a decision, but we don't have power over others. We can only, what? Change ourselves. So I want you to look at each other and say, I can only change myself. It's hard to say, isn't it? Hard to do. Because we are so many times feel like we have the power to change. I'm sure when Carol was watching me, she wanted the power to change my life for the way I was. But she gave the power over to the Lord to change my life. And that's what we've got to do. We can only change ourselves. So that's what's good at this part of talking about the power, because many times you don't have a choice as to the in-laws you have. Did anybody choose their in-laws first before their spouse? No. Right. Your in-laws are having to learn to have boundaries in their life. But if they've had a background where they didn't know what that's about, it's hard. I was speaking for a women's retreat for Village Baptist, and our first grandchild was already born. But I thought, oh, there's so many coming. You know, they were my daughter and my two daughters in law were all pregnant at the same time, so they're now 15. The kids are 15. Well, anyway, I was speaking at this retreat, and I said, I need help. I don't really know how to be a grandma. Would anybody like to help me? And this woman jumped out of her chair. There were about 200 women at the retreat. She jumped up, she said, loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink ships. That was so helpful. I can't tell you. Because I think many times in in-law situations, the in-laws are speaking out of turn. They are into your face. And that's what you're saying, how do I set? You can't change them. You'd like to change them. You can use different ways, such as prayer and all of that. But let me tell you on the power. I can't change someone. Even if I wanted to, you can't. I can only change myself. And so it's very important to understand that. When our first son got married, we had his wife's mother worked with me. She was the children's ministry pastor. My son worked with my husband, and we were all in the same church at that time. Do you see how you can get a little enmeshment in there, possibly? So the pastor that was doing the premarital for our son and daughter got all of us together. We sat down, and we were able to share what things we like and what things we're going to have to learn to deal with each other. Number one, I wanted for me. Because I had just learned about triangulation, where if Via, is that your name? If I told Via that I don't like Lisa, what happens? It becomes a triangle, right? So I said to my son, if you have anything to say to me, don't tell Doug, my husband. Come straight to me. And if I have something against my daughter-in-law, I wouldn't go to her husband. Do you see how that works? Many times it's through the third party and the hurt comes, where somebody said, this person said to that other person about that person, and that's called triangulation. I think that alone has saved our family, that principle of boundaries, meaning, and I have a daughter-in-law, so we have two sons, and two daughters-in-law, and one son-in-law. And it's been a process of learning to keep my mouth shut, right? And even for on your side, if you have in-laws, it's hard to sometimes shut your lip. But anyway, it's important to know that triangulation over the law of power needs to be in there. So because I have a daughter-in-law, she's very verbal, and I had to say, if you have something again, because she grew up in a family where they all fight. They fought. She's not talking to her sister now. You know, it's that constant, you know, mom not talking to aunt. So I said to her, you can't do that in our family. I set that boundary. If you have something against Stephanie, don't tell me. And don't tell anybody else in the family. Go to her. Yeah.
Does that apply to your grandchildren? So for instance, if one of your 15-year-old grandchildren had an issue, would you go directly to them?
Yes.
Your 5-year-old instead of to their parent?
I wouldn't go to the parent. I would really have to know more about the situation in that case. Let's talk a little bit more. Sounds like it's some different angles on that. So, but it's important to know if you can set that as a standard for your life, because it's important, like even in the church, you have something that you'd like to tell, say, Carol. I'll pick on Carol. So you go to Brittany first. Hey, Brittany, pray for me. I've got to go talk to Carol. Okay? And Brittany, what did Brittany think? There's something going on between Carol and me. Nobody needs to know that. You need to go straight to the person. That has caused more problems in a church and in a family, and it has in our immediate family. We had to kind of nip it in the bud a few times. We went on vacation, and my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law got into it because my daughter-in-law, we were at a beach cabin, and my daughter-in-law had just cleaned all the slats that overlook the ocean, and my son-in-law came with the kids, all 8 kids, and fed them peanut butter sandwiches and used the hose and went right on the hose. Because we said we would not, they were at each other, and we learned to get away from it, we all parted. We all let them deal with it. Or else the wife would get involved and the husband would get involved. But I'm so glad we set that standard. If that is the only thing you learn out of here, keep that in mind, okay? So number 4 is the law of respect. If we wish for others to respect our boundaries, we need to respect them first. And it's usually first. If somebody is not being respectful to you, disregard that. Be respectful to them. Demonstrate respect. I had to do that. My father's parents divorced after 30 years of marriage. It was such a heartbreak, I can't even tell you. Because we had just written them a letter. We weren't Christians. We wrote them a letter. What a sweet marriage they had. They talked so sweet to each other all the time. We had no idea. They didn't even know each other at 30 years of marriage. University of Washington did the best study on marriage by Dr. Gottman. It wasn't anger. It wasn't outbursts of anger. It wasn't even sharing hard things with your husband that marriages ended. You know what it was? Contempt. When you keep it inside, you are being disrespectful to someone if you haven't expressed your thoughts and your feelings. Those are important. It's who you are. And sometimes that's really hard. You need a counselor to navigate that. But we need to remember that respecting someone doesn't mean you're going to agree with them all the time. Respect has to be where you say, this is important to me, and in order for me to be respectful of you, this is important. So it's respecting other boundaries. Sometimes people are not ready to receive your input. I need to be respectful. And so knowing this, we're loose lips, sink ships. So my daughter lives down in California, and her husband is a very, very great guy, just respectful, very orderly. Anyway, just a good guy. Well, you know how as grandmas, we want to just go help them because the baby was crying. And I went over there, I said, oh, can I take the baby? You know, of course, right? This was their first one. That's number 1. And he looked to me and he goes, no, Joyce, No, Mom, I'd like to do it myself. I went, oh, good boundary, right? After the second and third, I could take him all the time. But that first one was really important to him. But thank goodness he said that to me. And I had to respect that, even if I kind of went, oh, that's just in my mind. I was just trying to help, you know. So, we had a separate bedroom, so I went in the room. Doug goes, what happened? I said, I just was trying to help John, you know. And he said, I've got it here, you know. He said, did you try to take the baby? Yeah. He said, well, that's it, you know. And so that's a boundary. You forget that we need to respect what somebody says. And I think the issues that you may have with in-laws, some of it has to do with respecting, okay? The law of motivation. We must be free to say no before we can wholeheartedly say yes. Let me say that again. This has to do even in your Christian life. You can't just say yes to everything, right? Because that's not showing that you have value certain things and have a value of what you believe is right. You've got to say no. And many times that law of motivation comes where there's been some intervention. Someone had to come, a counselor, a mediator, to sit down and say, what you are doing here, I can't say yes to anymore. But many times you have to say no, and it takes a while to say no. So that to be motivated in this area is really hard. It's not an easy one. It's been hard for me. Especially when there's been abuse and there's been some issues that have come up. It's just really hard because there's actions that need to be taken. There's decisions that need to be taken. We mentor couples, and we are dealing with one couple where there's pornography, addiction. Do you know it's a secret sin in the church, right? Nobody talks about it. But men and women have access, quick access to pornography. It wasn't where before, you know, they had to go get a Playboy boy and a magazine. Now it's on the internet. And I pray for my grandkids because of that, because it's so easy access. Number six, the law of evaluation. We need to evaluate the pain our boundaries have caused others. We need to ask the hard question, and many times we don't want to ask for help, but we need to. It's easy for us to not evaluate and assess our life. We get busy taking care of the kids. We get busy with life. And then there's a huge thing that has happened, the pain of it. And the person that has caused the pain has not had a chance to evaluate how it has caused a lot of pain. And I deal with people that have had parents that did not have those good boundaries and have allowed. I have a niece that came to live with us that was abused by a stepfather. And she blames her mother for not protecting her. And that's quite common in doing that. But in the law of evaluation, that needs to be brought up. Where was the pain, and what happened to everybody else that had to live with that? The law of proactivity, we take action to solve problems based on our values and our wants and our needs. I think it's very important for you to know what your desires are. He brings this out in the book, that you need to know what your desire is. If you want a life where there's good, healthy relationships, I mean, it was my desire, even if we don't do it perfectly, even if we fall and fail, I wanted to make sure that my children and the children learn to love each other, but be honest with each other. And when they have something against each other, they go to that person and not do a triangle. So that's a value. And I take proactivity in that, because I don't want them not to be talking to each other because something happened. 8, the law of envy. At first, when I first saw this 15 years ago, I thought, what do I include in envy? We will never get what we want if we focus outside our boundaries onto what others have. James 4:2 says, you want something but don't get it. So you almost want to kill just to covet that, but you can't have what isn't yours, so you quarrel and fight. Many times, that's over envy. And the Bible is very, very clear. I had to think about that because I thought, when I said that, I thought, I do envy and I do covet. I need to, you know, get that taken care of when that happens. Because in a family situation, that can happen. It happened in ours because I have I had a daughter-in-law very envious of my daughter and the other daughter-in-law. They are very peaceful people. And she's very aggressive. And she thought, they are too sweet. When they see each other, they go, I love you. And thinking, really? Is that the way people feel? I mean, so she was envious. I remember when our daughter got married, she said, what is that? You guys leave each other, you say, I love you, and then you hug. And then, I mean, that's not real. Well, it isn't real because love many times takes action. And it's not like they haven't had problems. A lack of envy with envy, it doesn't mean you don't have any problems. But what happens is when you let envy come into the picture, it clouds boundaries. And it did in our situation. And I had a hard time because what? Loose lips sink ships. And I had to pray that it would work out, that she would see that our daughter and daughter-in-law love her. But she was so envious that her boundaries were all over the page. She wanted to curtail that. The 9th one is the law of activity. We need to take initiative in setting limits rather than be passive. And maybe you have a situation now, you're praying through, how can I not be passive in this situation? How can I lovingly take the initiative to set limits? Because as human beings, we are responders. We are reactors. Your husband says something, you react. You try to take the initiative, and it turns into sometimes a big fight. So it's important to know how you initiate. I've had several times where I've had to, and Doug, my husband has too, has had to tell me things that I don't want to hear. And I've had to tell him things he doesn't want to hear either. And the kids have told me things that I didn't want to hear either. And one of them, I'll have to tell you, maybe you have this issue. As in-laws, sometimes you have expectations around the holidays. How many of you have issues around holidays? All right. Mom wants all the family to be together, right? Which is a good thing, right? But you have in-laws that live in the same town, so what do? Run from one event and then you run to another event. And then, and on top of that, like for me, we like to take all the kids to Hawaii. And it took my son to confront me, and he did. He took the activity, this was Ted, and he very lovingly took me out to lunch, which is really nice. And then, you know, I mean, it's great when they do, you know, he's now 48, you know, getting up there. Took me out to lunch, this is maybe 20 years ago, and he said, Mom, you know, we all can't go to Hawaii. We've got kids now. And I knew that, but the way I was acting was like, let's all go. And he said, Stephanie has family in New Mexico. They love to have family reunions too. Oh, okay. then I have to share. Okay, I get it. I thought the holidays, I handled that really well. But I did not handle family vacation. That was the stronghold, you know. So we went to Hawaii with only one of the kids and their kids. It was just with Beth and her family. And you know what? It was okay. But since then, we've gone several times. But, you know, respecting that and giving them the liberty as adult children to be able to say to you, this is what I need. We can't afford to do that. Also, aren't you exhausted after you go to one family event? So many families now do, they take turns. How many of you do that? So Thanksgiving is one. Uh-oh, that's my phone, Carol. Sorry. Okay, God's calling me. Yeah, just hopefully. It's inside of there. Sorry, I thought I turned it off. Okay, so the law activity. The next one is connected to nine. It's the law of exposure. We need to communicate our boundaries to each other, not for each other, to each other. And it may take time. If you have a relationship where the boundaries are not really clear, you don't know how to set it up, I suggest that you really start praying about that. I really believe that asking God to help you with wording is very important. I had to do that with one of my daughters-in-law, and I'm sure, you know, Ted had to do that too, because he didn't want to hurt my feelings about it, and I had to receive it in love, but it's hard work. Honesty before God needs to come first. There's a great book by Larry Crabb called Papa Prayer, and it's excellent because many times I don't know where I'm at in a situation, but it's like in a mall, I'm here. This is where you're at. So you can say to the Lord, I'm really upset, I'm frustrated, I'm angry about the situation, I don't know how to communicate this to the other person, please help me. And what I have found, it's timing. God will give you the timing and the situation, and many times it's not. The few times that was hard to say something to my husband was on a walk. It wasn't, you know. I mean, they get kind of threatened. You know, if you go out to dinner, make it a fun thing, you know, because you don't get a chance to go out to dinner very often. But sometimes a walk is great because you're kind of side by side, right? And you're talking, and so they like that. Men are more activity oriented. Have you noticed? I think I've become more male. I love football, so I am watching more football than my husband. I don't know what happened. So anyway, so as we close, and maybe I can answer a few questions. In summary, I believe that the Word of God is your plumb line on how to handle any boundary situation in your life. Without the Word of God, you're just floundering out there. God communicates to you through His Word what He is trying to communicate to you. And it could be just, like you said, just walking, and maybe a quick devotional or a verse that comes to mind. You know, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. And it says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. The devil is prowling around, seeking someone to devour. And it says, after you have suffered, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory, will Himself perfect and strengthen you. So we humble ourselves when we go in prayer. And then He filters that through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. And then you're able to live that godly life one day at a time. Because He loves you so much, He's not going to leave you stranded in the situation. What happens to me, and maybe happens to you, because I'm a talker, when there's a situation, I want to go tell somebody. How many of you are like that? Before you even talk to God about it. You know, I mean, really talk to him about it. How many of you would rather, oh, I think I'll call Carol. Hey, Carol, what do you think? No. In situation with boundaries, especially where you're setting limits and you know you have the capacity to choose and you know you have to be responsible before God, you need to seek him first. Maybe you have to clear some attitudes. That's what happens to me. I have some attitudes where I'm stubborn, I'm angry beyond measure, or I am hurt. You know, I can't. I'm angry about the situation. I can't. Then bring it before God, because maybe you need to ask him to forgive you first before you're able to forgive someone else too. Or if it's something really bad, it takes time to understand what forgiveness is in loving that person again. So we are now finished, and I'm going to pray for you. But if you have any questions or even comments, I would love to hear from others that have used boundaries to benefit the health of your relationship. I love how knocking on the door. In fact, that was my mother, Stephanie's mother, says, now that you're out of the home, I would like you to ring the doorbell when you come. And Stephanie said, really? Ring the doorbell? She said, yes. I thought she was kidding, but yeah, she wants the doorbell to be rung. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you now. I don't know all your situations, but I will pray for you. And then if people want to come up individually, that'd be fine. Or you can maybe comment on how something about boundaries. And maybe you don't have it all figured out, but it's good to share in the community what you're going through. That'd be fine. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you pursued us and you love us so much that even thinking about all the situations that we're in and the pieces that we even don't know how to handle. I know I don't. I'm seeking you because it's only you that can figure this out and can point us to the places we can get help. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for each woman here. Whatever they're dealing with, even if boundaries is not an issue, Father, would you bless them beyond measure, beyond what they even asked or thought? Make them a conduit to the gospel around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Any comments before you go to your discussion time? Yes.
Thank you. I was going to also, when you mentioned the triangulation,
yes.
That's also biblical. Matthew tells us to go directly to the person.
Matthew 18. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have you seen that work in your life?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It makes it a lot worse than if you go.
Yeah. Why don't you, can you say a little bit more about it? Maybe somebody who doesn't understand it.
Mostly dealing with kids.
Okay.
And if you talk to other kids about what you're dealing with that one kid, it's not helpful.
No.
And also, actually, adults too, it's the same way.
Yes.
It's much better to confront the person mm-hmm. head on instead of coming around about, because you know how much you would be hurt if you heard it from someone else than the
absolutely.
Person that has an issue. I'd much rather have somebody come directly to me mm-hmm. and tell me what the problem is so that I can explain it mm-hmm. instead of it being misunderstood even mm-hmm. further.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're dealing with more than just one person.
Many times when I do this topic only on in-laws, the one thing is they don't know how to live with somebody that is very aggressive in their advice to their children. That's very hard. Is there anyone here that deals with that? You don't know how to deal with somebody being so aggressive with that. And I would be glad to talk to you after this. So, anybody else that you've seen, you've done? Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about number 6, the law of evaluation, but mm-hmm. I just had one tiny comment.
Okay.
When I was growing up in my home, I didn't feel like I had a lot of privacy and respect at times as a kid. So one thing I am trying to teach my daughters is to say stop when there's a behavior they really don't like, as mm-hmm. in tickle war or mm-hmm. some teasing or you know, mm-hmm. just to have the the right to say stop, and I've tried really hard to respect that. They want to be all done because, you know, I would be held down and tickled, and it's not a fun thing. So even though they're really young, I'm teaching them it's okay to ask for privacy. It's okay to, you know, just start to create a little bit of personal boundaries and to respect each other in that way. So I feel like it's been really positive. But I've had issues with having to give my parents boundaries. When I changed from my 20s into my 30s even, it wasn't even subtle. It was very dramatic, which was unfortunate. But I really had to put my foot down and say, I'm an adult now. I am your child, and I'm going to honor you. But, and then also with my mother-in-law, I was at that point strong enough to make boundaries clear, and she really didn't like it. It was really, really hard. So about, you need to evaluate the pain our boundaries cause others. Is there anything else you want to add to that? Because I guess I maybe want to know more.
I think in there, it's really the law that you can't change her helps. I mean, it doesn't help the situation. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that I've seen prayer change my daughter-in-law, because I could not change her. I did not raise her. I did not, you know. But I think what happens is I start feeling sorry for my son, right, that has to put up with all that. And that's where you just have to really be careful that you love and accept her, because that's his wife, right?
So and meaning also like be more gentle when you give other people boundaries and you evaluate the pain it may cause? Like
that's where the respect comes in. And that's where I think when it's not the right timing, or a reaction is not a good time. When, you know, you keep it, and then you explode?
Yeah.
Not good. Try to explode in little bits, I say. A little bit. My dad lived to be 97, and he would say to us, little bit, little bit. So it's little bit helps to bring about unity. But if you keep it and stuff it and stuff it and stuff it, it's going to explode. And it explodes in ways that you didn't even plan on. So, but you know, scripture is, be kind, be gentle, be all of that. Anything else? Good stuff.
Yes, for any of the gals here that might not feel just totally loved and accepted by their in-laws, I know you had,
yes.
I remember when you came into the family and there were some people you were not accepted by, and yet they came to love you and accept you later. So I just would like you to share a little bit for anybody that has gone through that. How did you deal with the hurt and the pain in a constructive way? Because I know it was hurt. So that instead of breaking up the relationship, it made a relationship, even though it took years.
Yeah. And actually, with my husband's family, I didn't have any. With Martha or Chet or the brothers, it wasn't that. It was when my father-in-law married that ex. That's where it went kind of sour. And it was really hard. We had to limit our time with them. That's something you can do. If it takes a while, we were the only ones visiting them because none of the family wanted to visit them because she was toxic. Some people, I use that word, they're toxic. And you can't put yourself. So it took time, but Carol, eventually, it went away. I mean, not went away, she went away. She went away because my father-in-law died. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Words, for her, it was words. You know, it was words. Yeah, and you know when you're not accepted, but, you know. Is that what you meant? Or is that,
yeah, I was thinking of Grandmother.
Oh, Grandmother Waxman? Oh, I didn't have any with her.
Okay.
You know, hers was, you will not fight with Doug. You are not going to have any conflict with Doug. I thought, all in college we fought. I mean, you know, we're constantly fighting about whatever. But yeah, I think it was the more like she wanted us to be like her or something. Yeah, there's more LA, I think. Yeah.
I'm just wondering what that passage of scripture was that you were saying.
Oh, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. It's good to have verses. We teach our children in Awana to have the verses, but it's amazing how verses keep you on task in your life every day. There should be words that you can, you know, I know you need our Bible right there to look for it, but any other thing? Oh, Carol, is there anything on boundaries? Because you've done such a good job with that. And anything you'd like to share? Okay.
I have a lot of boundaries I'm having to create with my family. Mm-hmm. Like the little bit thing that you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think something I'm learning is that once I figure out what I desire for the relationship and what my healthy boundary is going to be, I have to realize that I just can't control how they're going to respond.
Right. Good point.
Because sometimes they don't respond how I want them to.
Yeah.
But I think if I even have like an ally in that, you know, like. So I tell my husband what it is that I'm trying to communicate to someone, and he's like my advocate and my ally, and I can come back to him if they hurt me. And then I know that, like, in that moment, it's kind of easier to fight your whip, I guess, like, because I know I can go talk to him later.
That's a good point. Sounds like you have both an accountability person as well as, I mean, be careful. I think between husband and wife, that's very appropriate. I mean, I talk to my husband a lot of things, but be careful with friends, because that you know, can cause problems, and it can cause problems in a church. Some cliques get started because they are like-minded, supposedly, and to me, that's where the enemy comes in and distorts and tries to break the unity. Yeah. Any other things before you go to your table? And yeah, good.
I was going to say, you know, one thing that I've had people in my life that have set boundaries for me or against per se. And I think that one of the hardest things with boundaries is that we don't know a way out of them. So meaning, like, with my own mother-in-law, I drew some rather hard lines when we got married. And then I realized that what she was seeking mostly was just to understand, how can I be a part? Like, how can I move beyond this instead of this hard line in the sand? And what she really needed for me was to say, if you'd like to spend time in my home or, you know, with us, these are the things that I would need in order for our relationship to be fruitful and loving. And, you know, and she appreciated that. And she's risen to that call quite well, and it's gone, you know, vice versa, you know. And I've said, what do you need for me to be in your home? And so I think boundaries is a hard word for me sometimes, simply because it feels so inclusive or exclusive. And I think one of the things that I just had in my own experience was God really showed me that you need to keep that door open to love, and people need to know
absolutely
where it is and how to walk through it. So,
right.
And I know, as you know, it was when I was early in mothering, and it was all I could do to just, like, you know, keep my own head above water. And it was, there was just distractions and noise, and I was like, I gotta draw hard lines. But over time, you know, I realized that I think people want the opportunity to change, even though it wasn't my job and I couldn't change her.
Right.
Letting her know what she could do to be able to spend time with.
So it's what you're saying is the understanding and communication is so important, and thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else? I see your wheels are spinning out there. So go ahead and share around your table, and maybe express to each other what of these laws are the hardest for you. At the beginning, which one? And then share that. Why is that? Maybe one or two or more. Okay? And I'll be up here if anybody wants to come and talk to me. And then I'll be leaving right at...
Oh, okay.